photocopied the healing course. Well, it's 30 pages, and much of it is repeated, and it starts out the first, I think it works out to about 10 pages, is who you are in Christ and spirit, soul, and body, which how many times haven't you, you know? And so I crammed it down. I don't think I've got any doubles in the scriptures now. And, you know, it's not the most organized teaching I've ever done, but I do believe by the time we're finished, I know this morning on the way to church, the Lord was saying, oh, and this one and that one. And so I thought, yes, yes, Lord, remind me later. But this should really cover it. And I found also that very often people can obtain healing if they have a similar situation to you, or, you know, things like that. And so I thought I'd share a little on how the Lord has healed me over the years. And not that I've totally arrived. I still battle Crohn's. It's like, and when I look back over the years, I've suffered from it since I was 25. Like, anyway, praise God. You know, Jesus truly wants to be our healer at all times. And why I have not received healing from Crohn's, well, I have several times, like I was supposed to have at least 6 surgeries because of it, and I ended up with 2. One was very minor. The other one, I really, seriously, and the doctor did not expect me to live. But anyway, I did. You know, I'm just nasty enough that I'm going to stick around. Steadfast. Anyway, you know, so even though I still have to battle with Crohn's, the Lord has stepped in and really moved for my benefit many times with it. You know, I can remember one time. It's hard to go back and remember. Anyway, I was saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, I was about 48 at the time. I said, you have promised me long life, that you would satisfy me with long. I have no children. And of course, the doctor is again, you know, you're going to go under the knife. I said, What is this? Anyway, he healed me from it. But yeah, anyway, I didn't realize Jesus healed today. I was told all those things on TV, those healers on TV. That was a lie. Those people were just, you know, they would go up and give their testimony, but they were lying because Jesus didn't really heal them. And, you know, so I was a huge doubter, even though I was a Christian. And when my daughter Kim was about, I don't know if she was 5 yet, 4.5, 5. Anyway, she had a raging fever. I mean, it was so bad. This is like 2-3 in the morning, and I thought I got to get the boys up because she has to go to the hospital. And this thought came to me. Jesus cast the fever out of Peter's mother-in-law. You know, some say that's why he denied him. Right? And but it, you guys aren't awake, are you? Anyway, so I, and fortunately I was holding Kimmy on the Chesterfield, and I thought, I said, and I spoke it. I said, fever, go in Jesus' name. Well, actually, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When I first started praying, I thought that's how what you had to. Anyway, it was gone, like immediately. I would have dropped her head. I'd been standing up and holding this kid. I'm telling you, it was just, I was so shocked. And then sometime later, I'm not sure how much later. Anyway, again, I was sick. And you know, with the Crohn's, I look back and I think, gee, I wonder if I ever did have the flu, but I constantly got the flu. I would go to the doctors, I would be throwing up, blah, 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 you know, all flu symptoms. They would give me antibiotics, and after a few days, I was okay. But I think 99% of the time it was just the Crohn's acting up when I look back, you know, and I think, man, I took all those antibiotics and didn't need them, you know. Anyway, I was sick. So, anyway, did my work in the barns, came in, took the kids to school at noon because Chris was in kindergarten, Kim in kindergarten, Chris and JK, dropped the kids off, had a shower, got dressed, dried my hair, went to the doctor's. Anyway, I'm halfway to the doctor's office, and this thought comes to me. And the Lord speaks to me. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you seek healing? You know, like, whoa. I mean, he spoke that to the king, and the king was in bad trouble with the Lord. I thought, that's it. I turned around and went home. And I forget how long it took me to start feeling better. He didn't instantly heal me at that time. I thought, now, you're giving me a hard time over this, you know, at least anyway. And I didn't realize, I couldn't understand why he was angry with me. And that was about the time I learned, okay, Lord, if I get sick, I pray, but then I can go to the doctor and you don't rebuke me for it, right? And doctors, they're good. The Lord works through them all the time, you know? But anyway, another thing that happened, way back when, and I had little or no understanding of healing, okay? And I had such pain. I used to have a lot of trouble with my lower spine. And I was at a meeting, you know, good old Catholic charismatic meeting, and we were blessing this. The priest had come. It was a special night. The priest had come to bless this person's house, one of the ladies in our group. And so, anyway, he's sprinkling, you know, and he's got this thing, an incense, and I didn't know what I was raised Anglican. I didn't know what all this stuff was. But anyway, I'm sitting on the Chesterfield thinking, oh, please let this be over. I want to go home and lay down. I was in such pain. I got one drop of that holy water on me. Pain gone. Like, I mean, I was so shocked, you know. And I have discovered, and this is important, you will know, need to do this at one point or another. When you, like, I know when we're doing deliverance, we'll pray over the oil, okay, and anoint the person with the oil and command the spirit to come out, and, you know, but we loose God's healing power and deliverance and stuff through it. And I believe you can do the same with oil, with water, you know. So that priest had prayed over the water. And yeah, I don't recommend sprinkling people with holy water, but it worked. It worked. And then when my kids were, Ted might remember better, I think they were maybe 4, 5, and 7, and Bambi was so sick. Do you remember the day we went? And anyway, I explained he had throat cancer. My aunt had come up from Texas to say goodbye to her father. And he had 3 daughters, 3 sons. Anyway, he lived up the road. And my children knew him. Even though he was my grandfather, they were close to him, you know. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me the thought about the fig tree and how he had cursed the root and all that happy stuff. And I knew about laying hands on for healing. You know, it tells us, what is it, Mark 16:18, the end of the verse. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay? So I explained to the kids. I said, okay, we can't explain to Bambi why, or to Aunt Kitty, or, you know. I said, but if you and Mommy and we'll join hands and we'll pray and ask Jesus to heal Bambi, And when we get to his house, because he was only, what, 2 minutes up the road in the car, you know. Anyway, and I said, when we get to Bambi's, you know how you always give him a hug? Think to yourself, you know, Jesus healed Bambi. Anyway, I didn't think the kids would ever let the poor old guy go that day. I thought they were going to knock him over. You know, we went in, we gave him a big hug, you know. And my aunts, I remember them saying to me, yeah, well, you know, Bambi's getting pretty old, you know. And they figured, because the doctor told them there's no way. And I said, you know, Bambi is getting old. He'd have been 87 or so at the time. And I said, but he doesn't have to die in pain. Yeah. And anyway, that night, didn't he choke up all this black garbage and everything? The cancer was totally gone. And he did go home to be with the Lord 4 or 5 years later, but he just went to sleep. We don't have to suffer. Actually, we pray that for you guys all the time. You know, Lord, I know some of us are getting up there and our number's up pretty soon. It's time to go home. But we don't have to go home in pain, you know? Anyway, and then when Ted, you'd be maybe 12, and Ted's my eldest. And anyway, I had this peppercorn. My youngest son, when I was pregnant with him, didn't I get this peppercorn on the bottom of my, I can show you the spot. But anyway, and that had been like 9 years. I had this peppercorn on the bottom of my foot. And I'm drying my foot after a bath, and I'm looking at this stupid thing. And I put my finger on it. I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus. I curse you to your root. You come out. And a month or so later, I'm drying my foot. I wonder how that peppercorn's doing. And I looked, it was totally gone. Like the Lord had healed my silly peppercorn, you know. But it was nice because it didn't hurt anymore or anything, but it didn't hurt all. Anyway, yeah, I didn't always notice it all the time. I've got in here, it says, do not go by your feelings. Well, I've been diagnosed with cancer 3 times. A couple times I think it was cancer. A couple times I think the doctor, you know, they use that big C word, you know. But a couple of times I'm pretty sure it was cancer. And the Lord healed me. I mean, he healed me. And, you know, he's so awesome. I just love him. But anyway, we had just moved to Cambridge, and I was in the midst of being booked for surgery I had an enlarged hardened uterus. I had a big growth on top of the uterus that stuck out like a big baseball, you know, on top of it. And these 3 specialists from St. Catharines all agreed, you know, like, hey, you need a hysterectomy. We got to get that growth out of there. I'm positive it's cancer. Anyway. And so they had done an ultrasound thing of it, so they would get a picture of it for the thing, and anyway, the day I have the appointment, I'm living in Cambridge, but the day I have the appointment with the specialist in St. Catharines, just turned out to be the day of Hank's mom's funeral. You know, she was a sweetheart, and she had died of cancer. And, of course, they're telling me cancer, you know. Anyway, I'm at the funeral home, and actually I had gone in the family room to sit down. I was in constant pain. It was just terrible. And I was sitting in there, and I thought, something's wrong. Something, what is it? And the pain had left. The pain had left. I knew I was healed. I went to the specialist that afternoon, and I told him, Jesus has healed me. And he looked at me like, you're a nutcase. He said, but truth be known, he said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We misdiagnosed you, and it wasn't just me. Those other guys said too, and la, la, la. And I said, your diagnosis was correct, but the Lord has healed me. And, you know, like, anyway, interesting on the thing, not the x-ray, but the ultrasound they had taken the picture of, it had been healed 3 weeks earlier. I was in agony still, okay? So just because you still feel that pain does not mean God hasn't healed you. I mean, just tell the pain to take a hike. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it did not show on that thing. Now, in the meantime, I still had, the growth was gone, but I still had some problems with my uterus. It was not cancer. And they had recommended this specialist in Cambridge that I was seeing, so I came back to Cambridge. And I went to that man, and he was not a nice man. But it was an extremely painful, painful condition, you know, like I could barely walk. And I was bent over all the time, and there were fibroids, these stringy growths, and they were very painful and stuff. But I'd been going to the specialists in St. Catharines, but they figured, oh, well, that'll all be taken care of when she has her hysterectomy. Well, the cancer was gone, and the growth was gone. I wasn't going to have that hysterectomy because it wasn't cancer. And, you know, anyway, I said to this joker, and this is right after, you know, he was not a nice man. Anyway, he did a pap test, you know, where he surgically cut pieces out of my uterus. And, oh, I'm telling you, the guy was cruel. He was brutal. Anyway, there was no cancer. So I'm cancer-free. And he says, I'm booking you for 3 weeks from now. We'll do a total hysterectomy and da 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 da. And I said, doctor, I know your diagnosis is correct, but you don't understand. I have not had time to pray about this. I said, let me pray for 3 weeks. If I'm not healed at the end of 3 weeks, do the hysterectomy, you know? And he looks at me, he said, you'll be back in less than 3 weeks begging me for a hysterectomy. Well, perhaps you don't realize, but I can get an attitude. I am telling you, I was so angry with the way he treated having faith in the Lord and things like that. And I just wanted to choke him. But anyway, I didn't do that. But I suffered with that for 6 months before I was totally healed from it. And the length of time, it's more my fault than the Lord's, because I wasn't continually seeking his face for healing. I was so angry, I couldn't forgive this guy to begin with. And so I'm walking in unforgiveness. You aren't going to get, you know, like, but anyway, but the Lord did heal me from that. And actually, I still have my uterus, which is a miracle in my family. All my cousins, all my aunts, my mother. My mother had cancer of the uterus and had a hysterectomy when I was 11. My sister and I are the only two in my family. My grandmother died from cancer of the uterus. I mean, anyway, praise God. You know, God is so good, so good. Then another time I had a blockage in the upper colon. Well, you know, the Crohn's. Oh. Anyway, and the specialist said, you know, I'm booking you for surgery. Cancel Egypt and Kenya for January. You won't be going. You know, like, there's no way that I would be able to travel. And Hank and I prayed. We didn't tell our kids at that time. I mean, you don't want to, so guess what? The doctor says, Mom has cancer again. Yeah, guess what? You know, like, I mean, it's just... Anyway, we didn't tell the children, which when they found out afterwards, they were very angry and said, from now on, the doctor gives you that kind of news. You let us know and let us pray, you know. And but anyway, this wasn't cancer this time. This was a blockage in the colon. You know, you have one of them, you know, if you haven't been able to go number two after a month or so, you know. You have a problem. Believe me, it's not comfortable either. But anyway, I was talking to the Lord, saying, well, Lord, I know even if I go in for the surgery, I said, you'll be there helping me. And he answered me. He said, call for the elders of your church. I said, Lord, you're going to heal me, aren't you? And he did. You know, I called for the elders, and... That Sunday, I was anointed, and Pastor Bill and Hank and Mark and Gus anointed me with oil, our elders. And prayer of faith, gone, and, you know, which was wonderful. And at that time, I was going to a specialist. His name was Dr. Cuddy. He's an internist or whatever you call them. And but anyway... And I got to share with him how the Lord had healed me. And you know, the guy's a Christian, which I didn't know at this time. But I realized when he said, well, praise the Lord, you know. So, and he says to me, what should we do now? You know, like now that you don't need the surgery and stuff. And when I hung up, he said, you be blessed now. You be blessed now. You know, there's some of them are out there. I know at a church picnic one time, it was said that I would be healed from the Crohn's and that I'd be able to eat things even that I liked. Well, that still hasn't happened. But, you know, I would love it. I would love it. And two different times, I have a problem with my right ear. Every now and again, the hearing just, it's gone, you know. Like, you can scream, come on in, honey, just grab a chair. Bruce, give this lady some notes. I've had a problem with my right ear since I was a kid, and slowly the hearing goes, right? And twice at evangelistic-type meetings and stuff, we went in, and the Lord started healing, and that ear would pop open. Twice I was healed. Twice. I thought, thank you, Lord. You are so awesome. And he really is. He really is. When I was going to Bible school, I had a lot of trouble. And I'm trying to learn about how the Lord heals and all that. And my right leg was so painful. It literally, and I went months like that. It got to the point where I was dragging it because I couldn't stand on it. And finally, I got ticked. I said, okay, that's it, Lord. And don't be mouthy like me with the Lord. It's not smart. Anyway, I said, that's it. I've had it. I'm going to the doctors like he cares, right? So... But anyway, and whatever the doctor says, I am going to do. And da, da, da. Anyway, off to the doctors I go and the x-rays and stuff. I had a growth leaning on my spine. And that is what caused all the trouble with the leg. As soon as I got rid of the growth, the leg was fine. And it was easy to get rid of the growth because I cursed it in the name of Jesus and the Lord healed it, and you know. But all this time, for months, he had been saying to me, be specific. Be specific. I'd pray about it. Be specific. Like, I am being specific. This pain in the leg is killing me. You know, heal my leg. But anyway, I had to learn to be specific. That's why when you come up for prayer, often I'll say, what exactly is wrong with you? Because if I will be specific, the Lord will heal it, you know. But anyway, God is so good, so good. I would go to Niagara on the lake area and visit my family. They're all from down that area. And I would stay at my sister's place. And in fact, she had a spare bedroom, and that was my bedroom. And I was there one night, and her kid can be a terror anyway. But not with me. But anyway, and I had crawled into bed, and I was talking to the Lord, and I rolled over trying to go to sleep, and I felt this evil presence come in the room. Well, I knew there was a demon spirit there, so I just kind of rolled over, and it was this huge, black, ugly thing, and I told him, get out in Jesus' name, don't come back, and don't come back to this house, don't come back to this property, go. And instantly he went. And, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 years later, I'm in the same bedroom and same scenario. I'm talking to the Lord. And I thought about this spirit. I said, Lord, what was that spirit anyway that night? And he said, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet you. I should have asked him when I saw the thing, okay? And I think in my case it was with sickness and disease, because I have been hit with some of the weirdest, craziest things, you know. Often the Lord would heal them, but it's still no fun. When I was, I know at different times I've had people come up and say, oh, it's easy for you to get healing, you know. The Lord has healed you so many times. Well, yeah, he has. Do you know how sick you've got to be for him to heal you that many times, you know? With the Crohn's, my youngest brother died from an underdeveloped digestive tract. Ted, when he was born, he had an underdeveloped digestive tract. He was very ill as an infant. In fact, he was 2 years old. I was at Dr. Cullimore's, the baby specialist, and he had just turned two. And she looked at me, she said, Mrs. Canters, this child is my miracle baby. He never should have lived. I mean, he was that sick, you know. And oh gosh, he went through an awful lot. But then by the time he was two, then he could start eating things like fruit and vegetables, you know. I mean, it was awful. But anyway, he made it. He can eat anything now. And he does. He eats what he likes, you know. But the Crohn's can, if you're praying for me, you can pray that I get set from that, because I'll tell you, it would be wonderful. Wonderful. And most of that I can skip. Okay, should we start our notes? And healing is for today, Ted, is the name of this one. Okay. And there's two main types of healing in Scripture. You know, the instantaneous kind. Those are the ones we like. You get healed immediately, you know. You go to a meeting, and evangelistic meetings are best for healing testimonies and things. And of course, that's through, you know, the gifts of healings, and which is the only plural gift of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, by the way, which isn't, well, I shouldn't say it's not important, but that's the one we want. And it functions as the Holy Spirit wills, because he is the one who controls the gifts. The other way is to obtain healing from the Lord through faith. That takes longer. This is the most common way for people to be healed. And God expects us to reach out to receive that healing. Okay, this method takes more time. It takes some time. You have to study God's word, his promises, you know. I've given you a jump start because you all have the healing scriptures on a CD, I guess they're called now, aren't they? You can slap it in the car or play it while you're doing the dishes or going to sleep or whatever, but you need to hear them over and over and over. You need to be thinking of them as they're playing. And can you say that verse as it's playing? And then at the end of each, like I read each scripture five times, and then I give you a little half-minute break for you to say, thank you, Lord. I know you're the God who heals me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. You know that you can speak to the Lord in between. That's what they're there for. And so they are a great help here. Okay, Mark 6:5-6. Now I have typed out quite a few of these verses, and I have my little taggies so I can move a little quicker because I think it's going to take me 3, maybe 4 weeks to finish it. Okay, but okay, Mark 6:5-6. Now this is Nazareth. Okay, he's in Nazareth. Now he, Jesus, could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And then verse 6, now he, Jesus, marveled at them because of their unbelief. Then he, Jesus, went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So he would go from town to town to town, you know, and he would teach and of course, heal the sick and everything. But unbelief, I mean, your hometown, you know. At first, no one in his family believed he was Messiah. They did afterwards. You know, James was one of the head guys in the church, his brother James. And but, you know, he couldn't do any healings because of the unbelief that he was surrounded by. Remember when Jesus went in to heal Jairus' daughter who had died? Right? And he threw out all the mourners. That would be his mother and father-in-law, his sister, he threw them all out and just let the parents stay. And then he took, was it Peter and John and James? Anyway, just faith. They were only faith people that were left. And too desperate, the parents were desperate people. And Jairus was head of the synagogue. He was, you know. Anyway, Jesus got rid of the doubt and unbelief. Then he raised her from the dead. And of course, they laughed him to scorn when he came in and told them that he was, you know, going to do that. And so he threw them all out. And, you know, doubt and unbelief, I know it sounds foolish, perhaps. It's the reason you aren't healed. One of these, your doubt or your unbelief, is keeping you from being totally healed by the Lord. You know, a lot of people, you know, think, oh, well, God won't heal me. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, you know something, you cannot earn a healing. It's free. It's in your covenant. Jesus died for you to have it. You know, you read Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4, healing, salvation, and deliverance, all were cut with the covenant when Jesus went to the cross. Isaiah 53 is all on the crucifixion of Jesus. So, you know, but until you believe it's you know, God isn't going to force a healing on you. You have to be open to being healed. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. But the good news is you can renew your mind according to the Word of God, okay, by filling your heart or your subconscious mind with the Word of God on healing. And I'm way ahead of myself on that. But healing is for today. And it's provided for in your blood covenant. We just had Holy Communion. often people are healed when they're having Holy Communion. Why? It's their covenant. They're celebrating their covenant. Celebrating their covenant. Okay, Mark 14. And, you know, you're going to get you'll get from this exactly what you put in it. I'll find the book of Mark. Okay, we'll be looking at verses 12 through 14. John, that's what my problem is. John 14. No wonder. Thought, what'd I do with the sticky? And it's verses 12 through 14. And it's all red letter. Actually, 70% of John is red letter. At least 70% is red letter, the words of Christ. And it's about 70% on the last day of Christ's earth walk or time here on earth. So the very most important things that our Lord wanted us to know are contained in the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. You know, tremendous, tremendous revelation and closeness with God. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. So, you believer in Jesus? He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works. That used to throw me. I puzzled over that forever, it seemed. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. I mean, Jesus raised the dead. What greater works? At that time, you couldn't get a person until Jesus went to the cross and rose again from the dead. You couldn't get a person born again or filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? To me, I think those are the greater works, okay? Verse 13, and whatever you ask, or actually I guess demand would be a better translation there. Whatever you demand in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you demand in my name, that I will do. Okay, John 15, we'll look at verse 7 and verse 16. If you abide or live in me, and my words abide, live in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If my word lives in you. What do you do through the week? Do you spend time in the Word? Or do you come on Sunday and you're too busy through the week? Do you know what I'm saying? If you live in my Word, then you will ask what you want or what you need, and I'll do it for you. 16. I love this verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I said, Lord, you chose me? Me? You know, old rat feet Kathy. You know, Lord, you chose me. Even me. You know? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask, or again demand, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Okay? The name of Jesus is so powerful, so powerful. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and powerful, okay? Luke 8, we'll turn there. And look at verses 11 and 12. If I have it typed out or I get there first, I'm just going to keep reading it. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be waiting for you because I have too much to go over here. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Okay, I'm going to actually teach in detail on the parable of the sower afterwards, but I wanted to touch on this now. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Satan has access to your heart, to your subconscious mind. He can steal God's word out of there, you know. But if you continually put it in every day, he can't steal it all, can he? He can't steal it all if you're continually putting it in. Mark 6, 53 to 56. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized Jesus. Immediately. Okay, so the people ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard Jesus was. You know, the people knew that this man could heal. They knew if you could get that sick person to him, then they would heal him. Then he would heal them. And, you know, the word of God, you know, it stands forever. It doesn't change. It never, ever changes. If you can find the promise in the Word of God, you can stake your life on it. The words the doctor are saying can be changed. They can be changed by the Word of God. What your body is telling you can be changed. And I'm not saying that doctors are our enemy. No, 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 no. Do what the doctor tells you to do. But continue to seek God for healing. Continue to put his word in your heart, your spiritual heart, your subconscious mind about healing, how God loves you. And you're important to him. And he wants to help you. And he wants to heal you. You know, it's God's will to heal you. What did Jesus do? People who say, oh, God made me sick to teach me something, I think, you idiot, why don't you learn it and get better, you know. No, I mean, it's so stupid. And you look at Jesus. Jesus said, you see me, you see the Father. Jesus came, he did the works of the Father. The Father God healed through Jesus. Jesus heals through us. You know? Jesus did the will of the Father. Jesus never killed anyone. I'm sure he must have felt like it a few times. I can think of a few. Anyway, Jesus always healed the sick. He never harmed anyone. He healed. So what your body is saying, that can be changed. What the doctor's saying, that can be changed. What the Word of God is saying will never, ever change. It does not change. It stands forever. If you can find the promise in the Word of God and keep reminding him, keep reminding him, keep speaking the Word of God, Okay, let's look at Mark 11, 22 to 24. Verse 22 is the most important verse here. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. You know, that's where it's all at, isn't it? Have faith in God. In God. It's God's word. And, you know, I'm not going to read through the whole thing here. I will, okay. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. But see where you have to have that faith. You have to believe that you will have it, and then you will have it. You have to believe first. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. You know, if you're walking in unforgiveness, you're blocking your prayers. I honestly believe it. If you're walking in unforgiveness, you aren't going to receive that. But those are things we can do something about, right? But have faith in God. And that's how I have been healed, because I have faith in God. God is a man that he should not lie. He doesn't lie. If that promise is in the word of God, I go to it. It's mine. This is mine. God promises me this. Doesn't matter. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for me. Okay, let's go to the parable of the sower. Mark 4. And we're just going to look at verses 14 and 15 and then verse 20. I'm not going to take the time to teach it in depth. But, you know, you're going to get out of this teaching whatever you have put into it. So if you go over these scriptures and meditate them and speak them and write them out and study it and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you way more than what I have time to share with you today. Pastor Bill, just make a sign like that when it hits noon, because I'll quit at noon. But okay, Mark 4, verses 14 and 15. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside, okay, the pathway, the hardened ones, where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, you need to recognize your adversaries there. He comes immediately to steal that word. But, as I said, you keep putting the word of God in, it gets rid of the doubt and unbelief, all the weeds in your heart. You know, I look at the parable of the sower as a garden. Okay, the people's hearts are the different types of soil in your garden. And the seed that you're planting in that garden is the word of God. And as long as each day you spend time in that word. And not just any word. I don't mean sit down, read your Bible cover to cover. I mean read healing scriptures. Read about how people were healed in scripture. How did they get that healing? They sought the Lord. They, you know, and you need to be doing those kind of things and using the right scriptures. Okay, you have four pages of right scriptures there. Okay, but you can write them out and allow the Holy Spirit to continue teaching you about them. Okay, verse 20, of course, is the type of ground we want to be. I'll talk about more on the different types of ground in a minute. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those are the one, you know, our hearts need to be good ground. We need to be good ground. Those who hear the word, you must hear it. Not read it with your eyes. Hear it with your ears. Hear, not see, hear the word of God. Okay, accept it. You have to believe it. You have to accept, yes, this is God's word, this is truth. Yes, I accept that. And then they bear fruit. And of course, the fruit we're looking for is our healing, right? Okay. Matthew 13. And we'll look at verses 18 and 19 and verse 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, this is a little more information given than in Matthew and Luke. When the person does not understand the word of God that they've heard, okay, then the wicked one comes and steals it away, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. And the wayside was like the pathway, a hardened heart. And what, verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word. You'll find that all of these different heart conditions, they all heard the word. Every one of them heard the word. But what did they do with it? Okay. He who hears the word and he understands the word, then they bear fruit. Then they bear fruit. Okay, Luke 8. We've pretty well done it already. Let me see what verse 15 says. Mark, Luke, where are you? Okay, in verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they heard the word, they kept the word, and they bore fruit. And you know, when you look at that as a garden, you till the ground, you break it up, you plant that seed, and then do you just walk away for a month or two and expect, no, every day, oh, didn't rain today, some water. It needs sunshine. There's a weed, get rid of that weed, you know, like, every day you need to attend to that garden. Get rid of the weeds, make sure it has water. Every day you need to hear the word of God on healing or whatever your problem area is, okay? But we're talking about healing today. Okay, so Luke, let's go. We'll stay in Luke 8. Verse 12, you know, the devil does have access to our hearts. And that word saved at the end of verse 12, those by the wayside, this is the pathway, they got the hardened hearts, okay? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest, just in case, they should believe and be saved. That word saved is sozo. It's a Greek word, okay? And it's translated healing, It's translated salvation. It is translated deliverance. And it is translated wholeness. That's all within that word, sozo. If you are sozo, you're saved, you're delivered, you are healed, and you are made whole. I love that, made whole. I often think of the lepers, you know. When you're a leper, you know, your digits start rotting off and dropping off and stuff. And the one guy, Jesus healed all 10. But the one who came back was made whole. I think they grew back on, you know, like I maybe I'm a nutcase. But anyway, I really believe that's what the Lord did there. Okay, so this is the wayside. It's the pathway. It's been, people have walked on it. It's hard. It's, you know, it's hard packed earth. And the seed was trampled by them and other people. It just could not take root, you know, and the devil, of course, stole it. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word of God, they receive it with joy. They're all happy and everything, but they have no root. You know, oh, this is fun. I love this. And they believe for a while. In time of temptation, they fall away. Any little thing, oh, well, you know, they go on to the next one. The seed cannot root in that kind of ground. It's too skimpy, you know. It just can't root on a tiny bit of dirt on top of a rock. There's nothing for it to get down to. Verse 14. And the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares. Okay, cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. They're too busy. They don't make God's word a priority. They don't make God's promises a priority in their life. They're too busy. They'll run to the doctor and do what he says, and, you know. And, you know, like I said, it's good to go to the doctor, but pray as well. Do both. Do everything you know to get healed. And verse 15, of course, is the good ground. But the ones that fell on good ground, that's where you and I need to be, good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience, with endurance. They hang in there. They hang in there. The doctor says, oh, you know, such and such is going to happen, but you say, no, Lord, your word says. Your word says, I believe your word. I am going to be healed. I am healed. And, you know, and different times I know I've thanked the Lord for healing me before I've been healed. Actually, quite a few times. You know. So you know that the Lord wants to heal you. It's his will to heal you. Jesus came and did the Father's will, and Jesus healed the sick. It's the Father's will. You know, creator of the universe, that guy, it's his will to heal you. Okay, so we need to hear the word, okay, be good ground. We need to retain the word. We need to do something with it every day, every day, every day. Hear the word. Work that garden. Get the weeds out. And the more the word grows in your heart, the more you put in, the more you're pushing out that garbage of doubt and unbelief and the weeds out of your garden. Okay? And we need to keep God's word continually within our hearts, you know. It says in Joshua 1:8, I've got it written out here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, if you will do that, if you will speak the word of God day and night, night and day and night, night and day, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Good success. If you fill your, you know what you think, oh, it sounds too simple. This is never going to work. It works all the time. It works every time. They persevere in the word of God. They don't quit for nothing, okay? Like the persistent widow, remember her? She got what she desired simply because she would not quit. She hung in there and kept demanding. Hang in there. God loves for you to hang in there. Talk to him every day about it. Thank him every day that you're being healed. And, you know, I mean, he likes it. James 5, and we'll start at verse 13. We'll just go to verse 16 here. Verse 13, James 5, 13. Is anyone among you suffering? This is a question. Like, do you have anybody sick here? Anybody got a problem? You know, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let the sick person call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sozo. Okay, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. He'll be forgiven even if he has sinned. Do you know, I don't know how many times from the pulpit, I and Pastor Hank, Pastor Bill have taught this scripture. I called for the elders to anoint me with oil. We have never had a phone call from anybody. So I need the elders of the church to, you know, anoint me with oil. And we'll say, yeah, okay, we'll do that on Sunday, but nobody's ever called. I don't understand it, Pastor Bill. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? So that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, it's the fervent prayer. You have to put yourself in it. You have to really mean it. I mean, you read in the Word of God about people crying out to the Lord. Well, if you're desperate enough, believe me, the tears are there. You're crying out to the Lord. Your kid is that sick or whatever. Put your emotions into it. Between you and the Lord. Don't do it in front of people. But between you and the Lord. Okay? Really put yourself into it. Nothing worse than somebody saying, yeah, okay, Lord, heal them and blow in a bubble at the same time. Like, where is the seriousness in that, you know? Like, okay, Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You need to remember that whatever you're putting in is what you're getting back. Right? So if you're putting God's word on healing in your heart, what are you going to end up reaping from that? You're going to reap what you're sowing, okay? But if you put in your heart or speak out all the time, oh, the doctor, his words, excuse me. If they want to say that, let them. I know people will say, like, my heart attack. They're claiming it for themselves. And now that I'm thinking about it, I've done that with Crohn's quite a few times. Smarten up, Kathy, smarten up. So, you know, if you're going to keep speaking the doctor's words, then you know how I handle it. I'll say, well, the doctor says, but the Word of God says. And I believe the Word of God. And, you know, you will reap what you sow. Do not sow doubt and unbelief. You know, if you're about to do that, slap your hand over your mouth. Don't speak it out. Do not speak out that doubt and unbelief. If you can't be positive, keep your mouth shut. Sow God's word on healing into your heart continually, and you will reap healing in your body. But, you know, it has to be an active, ongoing relationship with God. You're in it with Him. It's not just you and what you're thinking in your head and all that. Okay? Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. I've written it out here. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my command. Why? For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Length of days, long life and peace. God's word, God's commands. Are you walking in love? The law of the new covenant is to walk in love, right? You aren't stealing, you aren't beating, you aren't gossiping, you're walking in love. Well, then you're fulfilling the law. Proverbs 4. And we'll look at verses 20 through 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, I know this chapter's on wisdom, but apply this to the Word of God, okay? My son, give attention to my words, to God's word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For, verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. God's word is life and health to you. Keep your heart with all diligence every day, every day, every day. Feed it, pump it full of that word, the healing word of God. For out of it spring the issues of life. God's word every day, every day. Every day, okay? You need to have an attentive ear to what God is speaking, to His word, okay? And don't let them depart from your eyes. No, you got to keep reading them, speaking them, hearing them. The hearing. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the hearing of the word of God that is going to do it. That's why, you know, those little CD things, they're so handy. You're hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God. And you can't hear it too often. And you don't necessarily even have to be paying attention to every word. I mean, if you're busy and you're cutting the grass or whatever you're doing, throw it in and listen to it. Listen to the word of God. It, you know, when you aren't paying attention to it even, you are still picking it up in your subconscious mind, in your spiritual heart. You know, often, and the easiest thing for me to, example for me anyway, it's like if I'm at the mall or something and I'm heading for the car in the parking lot and I'm humming this song, and I think, I always hated that song. Like, why am I humming it? Oh, yeah, it was in the background in the store. I wasn't paying attention to it, but I was picking it up in my subconscious mind, okay? I was picking it up, picking it up. Okay, Hebrew. We're going to go to Mark 4, 26 to 28. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and bones and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Mark 4:26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. You know, you can plant, say, corn. You plant it, and each day you walk by, you think, nothing is happening, right? After a week or so, you see this little thing starting to come up, and you walk by day and night. Nothing seems to be happening. But you know, after a time, what happens? Okay? It's grown, and you don't notice the change day by day. But eventually, it appears. And when you watch your field of corn each day, it looks like it's doing nothing. Nothing. But if you will persist, continue to water that corn, get the weeds out, hoe the corn. I never did understand the hoeing part, but okay, so you water it, you weed it, and finally, as you persist, you reap the harvest. If you will persist, you will reap the harvest. It's the same with the scriptures. So the healing scriptures. And yes, it's going to take time and effort, but if you'll care regularly for your spiritual heart garden, you will reap your healing eventually. The harvest will come. The harvest will come. And I'll just read Hebrews 11:6, last scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is. He must believe that God is. And that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently, daily, take time with your God, and he'll take time with you, and you will receive whatever you need. And, you know, remember, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. God bless you.